We've read in our chapter about slander, and I want to just bring together just a few Bible themes about slander. To hate your brother in your heart is to kill him, Jesus said. He has a very strong view about attitudes in the heart. And when David is thinking about becoming king, he writes Psalm 101, and he says in verse 5, I will silence whoever secretly slanders his neighbour. I won't tolerate one who is proud. So, as soon as you read about secret slander, and you do read about that in quite a few places in the Bible, well, a slight smile starts at the corner of your lips, because if you believe that God sees and knows all things, there are no secrets. There is no secret slander. That is only how it appears to man. And in Psalm 50, where David again reflects about the judgment, he talks about those who commit sins that will preclude them from God's salvation in the end. And he talks about you slander your own brother. And you think that God is, the AV says, is such a one altogether as thyself. In other words, you think that God is limited like you are, that God kind of doesn't see because man doesn't see, but God does. God does hear snide comments that are made about others, and he hates it. And David basically says, when I'm king, I'm going to silence or put to death whoever secretly slanders his neighbour. You may say, well, David, how do you know whether someone's secretly slandering their neighbour? Well, because secret slander never actually remains secret, because people are going to repeat it. And so this is a serious matter, and it's a matter which we have all found ourselves guilty of, I'm sure, at some point in our lives, and we certainly have heard plenty of slander and gossip about other people. Oddly enough, there in Psalm 101, verse 5, the Septuagint and a few other versions say, he who speaks with the triple tongue against his neighbour. Why would slander be called a triple tongue? Well, I would say the reference is to the slanderer himself, the man slandered, and the person to whom the slander is told. That's the damage done by this razor-sharp triple tongue. The slanderer actually cuts himself, and of course he cuts the person he's slandering, and he cuts the person he's slandering the person to, the person he's gossiping to. And I think we have all seen that that has absolutely timeless reference and truth. When you come to the book of Job, you have some insight into how slander arises. The friends are all slandering Job. They're saying, look, you sinned, and in their theology, judgment and suffering were a result of sin. You're suffering, so you must have sinned. So come on, fess up, tell us what it was. And they start fantasizing about what it might have been. Was it a woman? Was it idolatry? Was it abuse of your servants? Was it not paying wages? And Elihu seems to go along with that. I am not sure about the role of Elihu in the book of Job, but I suggest that perhaps he is simply a literary device, because don't forget it was like a play for voices to start with. Most people were illiterate. And the arguments are fairly complex. You've got the prologue with the Satan figure, and then you've got the friends with their speeches, Job with his answers. And by the time you get to the end of it all, people probably forgot exactly the ins and outs of it. And so I think Elihu, on one level, is just summarizing, really, what the friends are saying. And he says to Job things like, don't let wealth entice you to wrath. This is Job 36:18. Don't let the great size of a bribe turn you aside. And he is, to some degree, repeating, summarising the position of the friends, implying that, well, Job, I reckon it was a bribe. You were a leader. You took a bribe, didn't you? And now God's hitting you back. All of which was wrong. So this fantasy, this belief in conspiracy theories, this is very attractive to the flesh. Why are conspiracy theories so attractive to people generally? Why do people always want to be sharing these things on social media and saying, oh, do you know what? Actually, this is the case. It's this proclivity, this tendency that we all have to want to listen to slander and gossip and to distribute it. And I'm afraid the internet generation are tested in this matter as perhaps none other. And so what becomes a passing conspiracy theory becomes solidified in a person's heart as fact, and then it comes out in their words. They suspected Job as guilty in this case of receiving a bribe. And so that thought dwelt in their hearts, and then they come out with it in so many words. Now, when you come to the New Testament, you find that the word that's translated devil, diabolos, is also translated slanderer. And there are two cases of this in Titus 2 verse 3 and 1 Timothy 3:11. Well, I believe that the devil in the Bible does not refer to some fallen angel, to some cosmic dragon who fell off the 99th floor in the Garden of Eden, a dragon with horns and tail and so forth. And if that's the first time you've encountered that idea, well, have a look at realdevil.info. You can have a look at my take on that in my book, The Real Devil. But for now, I would ask you to accept that that's what I think. And I therefore find it significant that the word diabolos is translated slanderer and used about people who slander, whereas generally diabolos, or the devil, is a kind of a parable for sin, a kind of personification of sin. And I think it's interesting that Paul uses this word twice about slanderers. He could have used another word. There are all kinds of words in the Greek language he could have chosen. But he chooses this one because I think he saw in slander an epitome of sin. It really is, because it's all to do with the heart and attitudes of mind, and that is where, that is the essence of sin and also of righteousness. In 1 Timothy 3:11, he warns people not to fall into the snare of the devil in 1 Timothy 3:7. And in 1 Timothy 3:11, he says that people should not be slanderers, should not be devils. So he sees that the snare of the devil is to do with slander. Once you start that path of having bad thoughts in your heart, the devil of your own little inner voice that tempts you towards sin will lead you further. Keep away from this. Value absolute truthfulness and positive speaking about others, and just turning away your ears from gossip, of which we read a lot in the Proverbs. Now, when you come to 1 Peter 4, he also talks about slander. Verse 4, he talks about people in the world who think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation. That is, you don't run with them in the same careless, immoral lifestyle that they do, and therefore they speak evil of you, you who are going to have to give an account for your behaviour to the judge of all. So people speak evil, they slander you, because you do not join with them in their way of sin. You know, they say, oh, look, there's going to be a party, office party on Friday night. You know, you come, we're all going to get stoned, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And you say, no, sorry, guys, it's not what I'm into, I'm a Christian, I'm not coming. And lo and behold, what you find, they start saying, huh, you know why he didn't come to the office party? Because he's, I don't know, doing something worse than coming to the office party. You learn from that verse a wonderful insight that the root, or a root, of slander is a desire psychologically to bring someone down to your level. They think it's strange that you don't join with them in their immoral lifestyle, and therefore they speak evil of you. So false accusation arises from the tall poppy syndrome. People perceive that somebody is higher than them, spiritually or morally, and so they've got to bring them down. And you see that in church life. You very often see people who quite openly are members of a church and yet living a fairly immoral, worldly, sort of life, not at all serious about their faith. And there may be someone else in the church who doesn't live like that and lives a more spiritual life. And you'll find that they will go and slander the more spiritual person. And that's why in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 8, Paul talks about his qualification as a servant of God. And he says that he's justified and he is demonstrated to be a minister of Christ, as he calls it, by glory and by dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true. He seems to be saying that being slandered, evil reports about you, is just goes with the territory. It is part and parcel of the Christian experience that you're going to have to accept, especially if, like Paul, you are set on trying to serve the Lord Jesus with all your heart, soul, and mind. It's why, in my own experience, some of the hardest workers for the Lord, some of those who gave their heart, their soul, everything they had in their lives to serving other people, to serving the Lord Jesus, were the ones who were the most slandered. That is absolutely true to human observation. That is how it is. That truth cannot be denied. And this is explained, as I say, in 1 Peter 4, verse 4. People think it's strange that you don't join with them in their level of immorality or their low level of spiritual life, and therefore they speak evil of you. Now, I'm saying, therefore, that when slander arises and you find that you've been slandered and knocked down, don't be surprised, because often it hits people, especially when they're newly baptized, newly converted, it hits them out of left field. But what? They slandered me. Yeah, don't be surprised. It's going to come. And I think it's one reason why a lot of otherwise active people who would have been active in the Lord's service actually aren't, because they got burnt. They tried to do something, got involved with something, and oh man, they got attacked, they got ridiculed, they got slandered and attacked, and their motives were impugned, etc. And so they don't do anything. It's all going to go the same way. And yes, it will. Yeah, I don't give any guarantee that it won't. You know, we're doing a campaign in this country or that country, or we're going to plan this, and people say, I can see there's going to be trouble if I get involved with that. Yeah, there will be. Yeah, you'll be slandered. Yeah, you'll get hit by somebody. Yeah, absolutely. But that is the whole nature of the territory. That is part of carrying the cross of the Lord Jesus, who was the man ultimately slain, the absolutely innocent, who was slain by the slanderers, by the devil, if you wish, because he was slandered. David was slandered. You just read between the lines of Paul's letters. He was slandered awfully, particularly by the Corinthians, by those he loved and tried to serve the most. And when you look at their low level of morality, getting drunk at the breaking of bread service, not believing in the resurrection of Jesus, and all sorts of nasty things going on there, and yet they're the ones who slandered Paul. Yeah, this goes to the territory. This is absolutely logical. This is life. This is how it goes. And yet, do not be discouraged. It goes with the territory. And all we can do is to ensure that we live with integrity ourselves. We ourselves do not listen to gossip. We do not repeat it. And we learn the lesson from the book of Job and the failure of the friends, and in my opinion, Elihu, at the end. Don't allow conspiracy theories about other people to start to grow in your heart, because before you know, you're going to be speaking those words out loud, and then I'm afraid you've fallen into a very big sin.